Good. I begin with an apology as well. You might treat some of the slides as a free eye test. If you can't read something, treat it as homework. Andrew has given you some already, but you can look at it at home. I've got the fourth session, and there really is a different way we're going to look at this subject now. We're looking at the workman's part in God's building. So far, and the organizers of the conference have done this very, have ordered this right, we have looked at God's side, what God has done. The church, his building, the house of God, in the way that God is the builder, and God has been at work. But now we're going to look at a scripture in 1 Corinthians where we see a different aspect. Is it good? The house of God. So far in our sessions we have seen that it is Christ and that it is God that is building his church. We have seen God's side of it. And in that way, everything is perfect. And it's vitally important for us to have that view and begin with that view, with what God does and what is perfect. And to learn really what his thoughts are, it's having that in view that really lifts us up, that gives us something that we can lead us to praise and really understand what this is about and gives value to what we do. But there is an aspect, and that's what we look at in 1 Corinthians. And Andrew earlier also gave us the importance of context and how these different scriptures that we are looking at, treating this subject, really should be seen in context, and how you need all these different views really to get a full picture. And while in Ephesians you've got the doctrine at God's view, here in Corinthians you've got, of course, the letter that Paul wrote to show the practice of assembly life and how the church should come together and how this is really done, how we do this. And in 1 Corinthians 3, you've got these verses that we're going to read now, where we see that we are being used in building. Men are being used in building this work, this house of God. I read the scriptures there. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 to 17. For we are God's fellow workmen, ye are God's husbandry, God's building. According to the grace of God, which has been given to me as a wise architect, I have laid the foundation, but another builds on it. But let each see how he builds upon it. For other foundation can no man lay besides that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, grass, straw, the work of each shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it is revealed in fire, and the fire shall try the work of each what it is. If the work of anyone which has built upon the foundation shall abide, he shall receive a reward. If the work of anyone shall be consumed, he shall suffer loss, but he shall be saved, but so as through the fire. Do ye not know that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone corrupts the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, and such are ye. So I repeat again, we have this aspect of God's house as Christ builds it, as we've seen it in earlier sessions. And in that way, everything is perfect because he's at work. It's God's side. But then we've got here the aspect of man being used and involved in this work. And there's a potential of failure in this. We have looked at these scriptures already, Matthew 16, 1 Peter 1, and Ephesians 2. We see there the assembly really as that building that Satan's power cannot prevail against it, as a holy temple where nothing defiling can enter. And that is the aspect where God is the builder himself, and no fellow workers there are mentioned in this context at all. Here in 1 Corinthians 3, we see that God uses us to build. We work together under God. There's this expression that is sometimes misunderstood, that we are fellow workers with God, as if there was ever any way we could put ourselves on a level with God. We should all guard against it. I'm sure everybody here understands this very well. It is God's work, and we are being used under God as fellow workers. We work together under God, and there is the potential and a warning against failure in how and with what material we work. But we are God's fellow workmen, we are God's husbandry, God's building. Workmen together with God, we have a part, so there is something for us to do, but we are not independent operators found. So when you read the chapter, and I'm just assuming now that you have read 1 Corinthians before, you know that it is a letter where there is a lot to correct that had happened in Corinth. And one of the issues there was the different parties that had come in, and that they followed different leaders, and that they made people and men head of parties and so on. And that's really what's addressed here. They're not independent. We are workmen together. And then there are two pictures, husbandry or vineyard, and the building. And the building is what we are looking at today. And it's God's building. According to the grace of God, which has been given to me as a wise architect, I have laid the foundation, but another builds upon it. But let each see how he builds upon it, for other foundation can no man lay besides that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Paul speaks now about how this work began there in Corinth, and how this was to be looked at, what was happening there now, that there were different claims being made and they followed different leaders and so on. And he is comparing himself to this wise master builder who begins, but he only has a part in the process. There are others who work, and others that would follow on from what we had begun. There is work for others to do. Each builder has responsibility and needs to take care in what he does. It's not so much the building skill, but the choice of material, as we'll see, that is what is critical and what's being assessed. The foundation is laid, and that is what we've seen in sessions 1 and 2. It's Jesus Christ. And when Paul here says that he laid the foundation, then of course what he means is that he brought the gospel to them, that gospel of grace that focuses in the Lord Jesus, in his work, in what he has done, and what is available in him. And it is the Corinthians, the work that was done in them was that they received Christ in their hearts. And that is the foundation that was laid. So that's what we can build on Christ as he is received in the hearts. That work that is done in the soul, that is the foundation that is Jesus Christ. He had been used to lay this foundation of that local assembly there at Corinth. He preached Christ, and the result was that there was a company of people that was led to believe in the Lord Jesus. He has done this in apostolic power, and the foundation was there. That's what he says in this verse. His preaching was Christ, Jesus Christ, and him crucified. Now, if anyone build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, grass, straw. So there the work continues, and now others get involved. And there are various materials mentioned now. Three are good, good materials, gold, silver, precious stones. But there are also three that are worthless and that cannot stand the fire. Hay and stubble, they do not last. The work of each shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it's revealed in fire, and the fire shall try the work of each what it is. what's being done, what's being built, and how this work continues is something that will be assessed, that will be demonstrated as what it is. And it's something that Paul really brings before the Corinthians here to show that responsibility that is there in working. It does matter. The different materials being used, gold, silver, precious stones, say, is apostolic truth, is what is scriptural, what is revealed in God's word. And when we think of building work here, I think we need to think of doctrines, of what is used to build up believers, to give that increase and growth that should be there in God's building. And what is being used, what do we build with? It should be the truth of God. The foundation is laid of Jesus Christ, and what's built on that should be continuing in the truth of God's word, in the apostolic truth of the New Testament. And the danger is that what is used is wood, hay, or stubble, and that is man's wisdom. When you read through Corinthians, you will see that this is the big issue they have, that there are those that give much regard to human philosophy and the ideas of man, and pride is a very big issue in Corinth. And we can see that it's something very real, and for us too, certainly, and for what surrounds us, and for us all, I'm sure. And the question is, what do we build with? Do we lean on man's ideas and man's thoughts, or do we make that effort to study the word, and really what we bring to others, how we want to build up on a day like this, in the local setting mainly, is it gold, silver, precious stone? Everyone's work will be tested and will be made manifest. It will become visible as what it is. It might not be visible here, at least not initially, and in fullness. So really, everything will be shown in a future day, something future. The day shall declare it. The apostle had spoken about that day earlier in the letter already. It says that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the day of the Lord's judgment. And for us, it's really that aspect of the judgment seat, where you and I will see everything that we did as what it really was. Now, to come back to these materials being used, I hold that the main emphasis on these two distinctions, that you have materials that are good, that last, that are to be used for building, and that they're materials that shouldn't be used. So it's two categories. But then it does give these three different items each, and it does make a difference there as well. So I found that thought that we might be able to see differences or degrees in how things are valuable, and also even in wrong ideas, there can be things that are more harmful and more serious than others. But the main distinction is between sound doctrine, the apostolic truth, and what is false, and what is a human idea. If the work of anyone which he has built upon the foundation shall abide, he shall receive a reward. The work of anyone shall be consumed, he shall suffer loss, but he shall be saved, but so as through the fire. So we have seen workmen wise or negligent in what they do. We've seen different materials being used, costly and durable, or perishable and worthless. And there are different results. There's reward on the one hand, or there's loss on the other one, where the workman loses what he thinks he might have gained. He loses the result of his work, and he is saved, but only him with difficulty. So to speak briefly about the judgment seat, it's a subject on its own, but we've got the scripture in 2 Corinthians 5 especially, where we must all be manifested before the judgment seat of Christ, that each may receive the things done in the body according to those he has done, whether it be good or evil. Now, the judgment seat, is a Christian now being judged after all? We know that we are saved and that our future is certain. There's no doubt about this. So is God judging us after all? No, that is not the thought. That's not an aspect we're seeing there. It's a judgment in the sense that it's an appraisal. It says that we will appear and be made manifest. So in the context of our scripture in Corinthians, we can see that it's really to show what has been done, to show that what has been done as what it is, as God sees it, who really is the one who can evaluate everything and sees the truth of the matter. And the result of this judgment seat, that is individual and personal for us with the Lord, is that we will see our lives and all we have done in the way that the Lord sees them. And this is something very needed and something we will appreciate when it happens, because it will really enable us to have this full fellowship with the Lord in eternity, when our thoughts of our lives will be brought in line with the Lord's thoughts of our lives. There will be reward, and that is precious, and that's what we see here as well. For what was done for him, what he sees as what was done for him, there will be reward. We will be given reward. But there will also be loss for the things were not good. And that is a solemn aspect, and that's what we have in our scripture in 1 Corinthians. And our assessment of something might be wrong. We might have surprises either way when we stand before the Lord there. But we are told about this now, and about this future, and we've had this earlier in the session already, that we do live in the light of that future, and it should have an impact on us now in how, what care we do take. We should be careful how and with what material we build. If God will manifest the quality of everyone's work only in the future, why are we told about this now? Now, that's this question we might ask, you know, if we can't know, or we're not knowing here anyway, why are we speaking about this? It's a quote from Mr. Kelly there. All that lets in the light of God's future on present occupation is wholesome, not only for his servant, but for all concerned. And I think that's something useful for us to remember, that we are really here and to have God's light on what we do now, on what the future will show, that there is importance to what you and I do presently. It gives great dignity to it, and it makes it something very solemn as well. this expression that he will be saved, yet as through fire, it's the work and ministry of the believer that's in view here. He will be saved. God will take care that every believer is saved. There's nothing at risk there. But the solemn result is that all the work, all that might have been done in a life, will be burnt up. A builder might escape, but he sees his building ruined by fire. Now, this really is homework. It's just something on purgatory. Again, you will find it's an idea of the Catholic Church, Roman Catholic Church, and they base it on this scripture. And it's got no basis in scripture at all, but you might find this interesting to study why that is not right. That thought is not here at all. And then we have, towards the end of the verses there, we've got the thought of the temple brought in. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? We see the house of God as his temple, which has the emphasis on his holiness that we have seen before. And that is what makes it very solemn again. And I do wonder if we are thinking of this. I think the verse in Corinthians primarily, or firstly, are addressed to those that do work, that have a ministry among the saints, and that are used to build up, to teach. But there is an application. We can also look at this wider. We all have an aspect in the way how we are used in this. And do we are we aware that when we speak to each other, to believers, that we really do this as builders in the house of God, that has to do with His temple, where His holiness is to be seen, and that we can do, we can build, we can be constructed, we can be used in this way, and that's a great privilege. But we can also do harm, and we should really be, perhaps have this view more, that we see that there's responsibility in working among the saints. If anyone corrupt the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, and such are ye. Now, I just summarize this. In verse 14, we had seen a builder building with good material upon the foundation that is laid, and that is a believer, and there will be reward for him. And I think that's what we, I know that's what we are striving for, to use that good material, the apostolic truth of the New Testament, to encourage each other to build ourselves up. In verse 15, we have a builder that builds with bad material upon the foundation. And there is that aspect of loss. It's a believer, he is saved. And then in verse 17, we have this most solemn aspect, a builder that sets out to destroy or corrupt the temple of God. And as we see here, that is not a believer at all. But Paul obviously suspected in Corinth the situation that there were those that were not believers at all. So there is that warning there. So, I'll just end with this verse from 1 Peter 4. But the end of all things is drawn nigh. Be sober, therefore, and be watchful unto prayers. But before all this, having fervent love among yourselves, because love covers a multitude of sins, hospitable one to another, without murmuring, each according as he has received a gift, ministering it to one another as good stewards of the various grace of God. If one speak as oracles of God, if anyone minister as of strength, which God supplies, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom is the glory and the might for ages of ages. Amen.